It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And I have been preparing lists of events for observations. It occurs to me I should post some of those on the Season Watch page. So in case you want to, maybe a link to the page. And then if you want to keep track of some of the events that typically take place in March for this area, you can print out the list and follow along. One of the things on that list is first rain of the spring, and this year that first rain of the spring actually fell back in January, but first thunderstorm of the spring is another one of those March events, and this year it occurred yesterday for some of you. I thought I might have seen a flash of lightning yesterday evening, but only one, and I listened carefully afterward. I was inside, and the dog wasn't barking, and my wife wasn't hollering at me, two unusual events, but I did not hear any thunder following that, what I thought might have been a flash of lightning, but I know south of us, they got plenty, and Ed Dallas down in Deerwood was saying that it thundered and lightened and rained and hailed and did all kinds of things down in his neighborhood. Maybe not right where he was at, but pretty darn close. And so, that was one of the events that takes place in March, typically. The other event that takes place in March, well, there are several, but one other one that is of this time of year, of course, are the buds popping out on the aspens, trembling aspens. Now, if you're looking at balsam poplar, or if you're looking at big tooth aspen or cottonwoods, none of them are going to have their buds breaking out, but the trembling aspens are, and you can see them if you oftentimes I use binoculars just to make sure. But you can tell that the buds on the aspens are starting to swell and pop open, and they put out a little furry bud up there. It's very similar to the pussy willows, and by now pussy willows are, I won't say ubiquitous, but it's certainly not difficult to find a pussy willow or two in any 5-mile drive. If you're outside of a city and you're driving into the city, watch as you're driving along. Pretty soon you're going to see some pussy willows. They're out there. The first ones are out and pretty easy to observe right now, bright white. The flower on the aspen and the flower on the pussy willow, typically this time of year, are the males. They're the first ones to open. The females open a bit later, and when they are receptive, when their stigmas are open and they're looking for pollen, the males will have to have done a lot more development. The females follow pollinization with rapid development to become a long catkin, but the males have to get to that catkin stage, that long trailing catkin stage, in order to produce their pollen. So they start earlier. And both of those have furry buds. And the reason they have furry buds is the same reason that a coyote has furry hair. You know, it keeps them warm. And those buds pop open early. And that heat on those buds makes them develop quickly. And all of that seems kind of mundane and maybe something that you knew and weren't too impressed with. But on the other hand, there are a lot of bumblebees out there who are, as we speak, sleeping soundly in a hole in the ground or underneath some leaf litter somewhere, staying dry. And one warm day here in spring, they're going to emerge, and the first thing they're going to want is some food, and that food is going to be the pollen and the nectar that they find on these flowers of the pussy willows and the aspens. So as we sort of work our way through March, And come up onto April, you'll begin to see these flowers developing even more. And then the bumblebees will be out and they will be grabbing a quick bite. Also among the groups that will be searching out those early flowers will be butterflies. And there are always five or six species of butterflies that overwinter as adults up here. And they will be coming out typically at the end of March, first part of April, depending on the weather. If we have a warm March, I would expect to see any number of these butterflies before the end of the month of March. But typically, I think my average date for the morning cloak, which is one of the more easily recognizable butterflies of the spring, is April, I want to say the 6th or 7th of April, somewhere in that first week of April, you'll see the morning cloak butterflies out. Morning cloak butterflies, easily identified, big. What you're going to think of when you see them, they're the size of a monarch or an eastern tiger swallowtail. They're big. They're really, really dark brown. But your first impression of them is going to be, look at that large black butterfly. And if you get lucky enough to get close to one, you'll see that they have a cream-colored border around their wings, and they have a row of beautiful sky blue spots on the hind wing. So they're really gorgeous butterflies, but they are large and easily recognized, so watch for them. And the others you're likely to see this time of year: Compton's tortoise shell, Milbert's tortoise shell, common, let's see, the gray comma, the green comma, and the common comma, eastern comma, that's it, eastern comma. And those five butterflies are, or six if you count the morning cloak, those butterflies, those half dozen butterflies, are among the first butterflies that you're going to see in the spring, and they are going to be dependent on those flowers that are coming out right now. Other notes from this week, Dallas Hudson over in Akeley has seen common golden eyes out searching out open water. He saw an American kestrel sitting on a power line over that way. I had heard another observer out that way talking about kestrels as well. I typically don't see kestrels here in north central Minnesota until late March. And as we look at March, it might be a good idea to just note a few of the birds that come back typically in March. First, and probably most common and most easily recognized, is the robin. And I know a lot of you probably are seeing robins right now, single birds here and there, maybe mixed in with a flock of waxwings or something like that. And those robins are have spent the winter. So how do I know when a migrating robin has arrived? I look for two things. One, I look for song. So if I hear them singing their spring song, their territorial song, that's one indicator. The other indicator is if I see one today and tomorrow I see another, or three or four, or within, say, 2 or 3 or 4 days I see other robins, then typically that's when I tell myself, okay, they are migrating back into the area. And that typically happens around the 23rd, 24th of March. Following the robins, you're going to have flickers, killdeer, grackles, red-winged blackbirds, eastern bluebirds. So there'll be a number of birds moving into the area throughout the month. And it can run as early as March 6th or 7th, which happened in 2012 and 1987. Or it can be as late as April 10th or 11th, which happened in 2013 and 1996. So it just depends on the kind of spring we're having. But it can happen even now. I don't expect it this week, but it could happen. And we'll just have to be alert for that sort of thing. The other thing that Dallas Hudson heard over in the Akeley area was first ruffed grouse drumming. So they're getting ready to start their territorial displays, and that really will reach its peak in mid-April. But I think typically the first grouse drumming, I think my average date is around the middle of the month of March. Red elderberry buds are swollen. I go by a red elderberry every morning and I kind of give it a good looking over, and the buds are swollen and there's little lines of green in them, but I would not say that they have yet broken their buds yet. That will happen later on in the month or maybe in April. Red-breasted nuthatches are making their spring songs. I heard a lot of black-capped chickadees singing their Phoebe songs this past week, and the downy woodpeckers are doing a lot of drumming right now. Pardon me. Bog birch. I've taken the opportunity the last couple of days, well, actually twice in the past week, I've taken the opportunity to wander through some of the big bogs where I live. Tamarack and black spruce and bog birch and lots of speckled alder in some areas. It's amazing when you go through those bogs, and especially now where there's a crusty snow out there and it's pretty easy walking, you can go through those bogs and you can see a lot of different habitats. I go through one part of the bog and the speckled alder is just thick, and then I get in a little deeper and it gets a little shadier and probably a little more acidic. And there are no speckled alders, but there are bog birch. And then there are areas where there are no bog birch either, just black spruce and tamaracks. And down below, the sphagnum, the magellanicum, and the angustifolium and flava, different species of sphagnum that are common in these bogs. But the bog birch have been dropping their seeds right now. In the last week, I've seen a lot of seeds on top of the snow that are from the bog birches. And they look a lot like the paper birch that you can see on the snow now as well. And what you'll see is a kind of a, they sort of remind me of the fleur-de-lis, or maybe the track that a duck's foot might make. And they are, those are the bracts. Those are bracts, the leaves on the catkin that held the female flower. And if you look around and you see these sort of four-pointed little structures, those are the protective covering that protected the seed that develops. And the seed itself is the size of a pinhead and kind of bronzy, orangey colored, a little wing around a very small seed. And that's what's out there in the bog right now. Looking at the KAXE KBXE season watch page, I've noticed that, Nancy Mike Johnson had a note in there from yesterday that she found her first deer tick. And I am not surprised. The deer ticks are active whenever the temperature gets above 40 degrees. You can count on the deer ticks getting out and getting and moving around. I have records of people pulling ticks off of their dogs or off of themselves in every month of the year, deer ticks especially. I made some notes yesterday. Lots of spruce were knocked over this past winter because of rain and ice and heavy wet snows. And so there are lots of trees broken off and lots of trees bowed over. Not only trees, but shrubs, lots of hazel brush, lots of bog birch bent over. And then the tops are frozen into this ice crust. And boy, I'll tell you what, they are snares. You're wandering through the bogs and you're not paying that close attention to what your feet are doing. And the next thing you know, you're tripping over a root. And it doesn't just pull out. It grabs your foot and down you go. So be careful if you're out wandering around in the bogs. The other thing I've noticed in the last couple of days, and something that you want to make yourself aware of over the next few days as you're watching this snow fall, and eventually it will melt, There are oftentimes places where like an oak leaf will land on the snow and the sun will warm the oak leaf and it'll cut a perfect pattern of the oak leaf down, down, down into the snow. And you'll see this nice outline of the oak leaf. And at the bottom of this little depression, there'll be the oak leaf itself. The opposite can happen just as assuredly. If you get a piece of garbage or something out there that is insulative, that has some insulative qualities to it, you'll see these pedestals of snow holding up this object well above the snow around it as it retards the melting of the snow underneath. So you'll get both sides of that one, and it's worth checking out. They are quite startling to watch the two different things that can happen with objects that fall on the snow this time of year. Final notes, Crooked Lake. I posted a little picture that a little video that I made yesterday out on Crooked Lake where the water was running across the ice. There was about an inch of water on top of the ice, and it was running across the ice and it had found a hole where it was washing down through the ice into the lake. And it was just gurgling along like a little drain, which in fact it was. But it gives, if you're out in the spring on a lake and you see these little fractal-like tracks of ice melt that lead to a round circle in the ice, it's a hole that was created when some flaw in the ice melted and the water started seeping through. And then as the water rushes into these holes, it starts turning in a circle. So it cuts a nice round hole right in the center of these drain fields. You can check out all of that and lament with me the fact that there could have been some good skating, but the snow fell on top of it and ruined it. And yes, I was glum yesterday as a result, or this morning when I got up, I was a little crestfallen that the snow had come and that the skating wasn't going to be fabulous. But I was rewarded, given a different kind of reward, I guess, and that was I heard saw-wet owls calling last night. That's not the first time I've heard them this year, but it was certainly a welcome sound to hear the saw-wet owls calling on the darkness last night. I tried to whistle them in, but they weren't buying what I was selling. That's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, if you have observations you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you.